Today, I just want to start pretty simple. I want to speak out of Genesis. It is the new year, and I actually started like this Bible study thing. Never done one. I usually just read from different parts of the Bible and stuff, but I want to consistently just knock out the whole thing in a year. Super simple. I want to start with Genesis. So the reason for me kind of talking about this is that I want to be successful. I want to be productive. Every single year goes by, I want it to be fruitful. And so what that means is that it has to be intentional. Our lives have to be submitted to God. We have to hear God's voice very clearly. Before I get into this, let me pray really quick, huh? Couple words. Holy Spirit, thank you so much for this new time. Thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for this new year, Lord. I just ask, I actually want to give this second service and this stage to you for this year, Lord. I want to dedicate it. I just ask that every word that is released from here, it is anointed. I just ask that every word that is released from here, that is it's a prophetic anointed word into people's lives, into their futures, into this house and the growth of this house. I just ask that you put all the puzzles together. We just yield to you right now. We just ask for your presence. We ask for your guidance. We ask for you to truly not only impact us here in this house and in this church, but that you take this outside into our community, Lord. I just ask that every heart right now, in your presence, right here and right now, that every heart is tilled by you, that the fertile of our hearts and the ground of our hearts is tangible to hear your voice. It is tangible to receive your word. And it is tangible for us to truly be yielded to you and obedient to you in every way. Holy Spirit, I love you. It is so beautiful to follow you, to get to know Jesus Christ better and deeper. It is so beautiful that this man, Jesus, paid the price and became our King, and that we know him and that we walk with him. It's so amazing. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that we are in the right place at the right time. Thank you that this family is truly special for us and to you. In Jesus' name, amen. So, that was good. I listened to Danny's word last week. Good job, brother. Literally being in the right place at the right time. That's what it looks like. You're in God's boat. Just enjoy it. Just enjoy it. So let's start with reading Genesis. Let's start with Genesis 4. I'm going to read from verses 3 to 7. 7 is the key verse that I want to talk about, highlight, and really I want to flow from that today. So Genesis 4, 3. When it was time for the harvest, Cain presented some of his crops as a gift to the Lord. Abel also brought a gift, the best portions of the firstborn lambs from his flock. The Lord accepted Abel and his gift, but he did not accept Cain and his gift. He made Cain very, very angry, and Cain looked dejected. So in other words, he looked depressed. The Lord God asked Cain, "Why are you angry?" The Lord asked Cain, "Why do you look so dejected, depressed?" And so this is the key verse that I want to talk from today. You will be accepted. This is Lord speaking into Cain. You will be accepted if you do what is right. But if you refuse to do what is right, then watch out. Sin is crouching at the door, eager to control you, but you must subdue it and be its master. This verse, when I was reading it during this week and thinking about this, Holy Spirit really spoke to me through this, because it is so funny. This is that we like realize that this is the beginning of human existence on this earth. This is crazy. Like Adam and Eve started, and this is their kids, and their first time dealing with sin, right? The major sin was Adam and Eve's. They rebelled. Now Cain and Adam are like, they're harvesting like the fruits, in other words, of the sin, right? So there was rebellion. It started with rebellion, but now God is well, Cain in this matter, manifestations of that rebellion is anger, jealousy, like the virus is taking place in human heart and in human existence. So when I was thinking about this, I'm like, oh my goodness, this is so perfect. We have Jesus, like he's our God. He cleansed, he went back to Adam, fixed the mistakes and stuff. But nevertheless, when it comes to the virus of sin, we all have it. We all battle with it. We all need to know what it looks like, and we need to be aware of it and to identify it. The reason, again, for my motivation for this, because there is so much knowledge out there right now, but when it comes to Christians and God's sons and daughters, they don't walk out what they know. They don't walk out the basics. And the walking out and like actually putting rubber to meet the road, that's where it's at. It's not about knowing. You know, when attacks come, you need to know how to deal with it. When doubts come, you need to know what you're doing with it. And so Cain, this is really cool. I love this right here. It shows again, like the original copy of human walk with God. When it comes to Cain, he experiences rejection from God. First rejection, first human to ever experience rejection. This is insane, right? If you really think about it, Cain experiences rejection. And so God is right there watching what is happening. He lets him experience the rejection, and he's by his side in the process, looking at what Cain is going to do with the rejection that he's experiencing. That is so crazy. Like literally, God is by his side in the process. And God, after God looks at Cain's heart and he analyzes what's happening in his heart, because again, rebellion just started, sin just took effect, and like now it's a new process. To be honest with you, I was thinking and meditating on this. This is pretty wild. I think when this process of sin took place, I think God was in his own process with experience of what was happening with the sin and the effect, how it affected human heart. Does that make sense? Like God was studying and he was walking in the process with human beings from the beginning. So God, after he sees what's happening with this rebellion, with the sin in Cain's heart, he tells Cain very clearly, he lays out the instruction out of Genesis 4:7 that we just read. You will be accepted if you do what is right. So God is looking at Abel or Cain, and he's seeing how he's glitching inside of his heart. If you really think about sin, what is sin? Is anger sin? Is lust sin? It's not a sin. It only becomes sin when you put action into it. When you're really experiencing the lust on the inside, it's on the inside of your heart. Nobody can see. No damage is done, right? But when you take action, you actually get hooked up and start doing the funky stuff and end up in the wrong place with the wrong person, that becomes sin. And that's where your life starts going sideways. That's when you really start reaping the benefits of your actions. So God notices and he gives a warning to Cain. He's like, hey, you have anger. What's happening? Why are you depressed, dude? Like if you do right, what is God saying? Abel did it right. So Cain was able to see the difference between right and wrong, right? Presence. God's presence was the key point here. And so this being said, God tells him, hey, do what is right. Cain rebels and look where his actions take him. He doesn't deal with the anger, but he actually invites Abel to go into the fields with him, whatever they were doing, farming, watching over sheep, whatever the beginning era was with humans, and he kills him. It's pretty wild that the effect of rebellion started with inside issues, right? Everybody knows what depression is, what rejection is, what doubting looks like, what discouragement looks like. Everybody deals with that. Like, I mean, we have the fallen nature, but it's like, what do you do with it? God warns him and he says, you have a choice. You can be accepted. You can rewind back and you can be good. He's trying to teach him a lesson. He's walking side by side with Cain and he wants to get involved in it. Anyways, he doesn't listen and he makes a doo-doo. First murder in our human history, literally. A brother killing his brother. That's pretty insane. That's pretty sad. God's heart's desire master. This is what he commands out of Genesis 4, 7. And this is what God says, not only 6,000 years or whatever the beginning of the story is. This is what God is saying currently to all of us today. Master, take control over your emotions, because that's what it was. He was experiencing the emotion of anger. People experience, it starts with the heart and experiencing the emotion. It's your soul realm. That's how the enemy knows how to push the buttons and wants us to get tempted and then start walking out and making sins on the exterior. He says, be a master of it. Take control of your emotions and be intentional in truly living your life, not just go with the flow. So many Christians, they go with the flow of life. Things happen and they don't analyze, they don't learn from them, especially like religion. It's like fear is so gripped in their heart, it's pretty wild. A lot of it is based on fear. From starting point, when Cain kills Abel, I think the most saddest thing for God was the disconnect. Sin brings the disconnect with his children, right? There's a connection, like loss, that happens between us and the Father. And this is where I think for God, this was the hardest thing. God is all about loving us and being loved by us. It's all about relationship, intimacy. It's all about that connection for him. And in the beginning, this is what started going sideways, is sin. Sin started interfering with this and cutting humans off from God. Like they just pretty much started becoming godless and started getting lost in their hearts. It all starts in your heart. There's a seed, and then exterior world starts, you know, catching up with everything and everything starts getting built up. So out of this, couple of points that I want to make that are crucial. This doesn't matter what generation, what age, what your experience is, but it is crucial. Couple of things to subdue sin, what God is commanding us, and truly be successful in walking in victory in Jesus. Sin-free, like enemy attack-free, curse-free, like all of these little things. It all starts with self-worth and identity. Seriously, that's how simple it is. In the beginning. I just had to. I had to. This is how simple. God says the humans are made in his image and likeness. Literally, that's what it starts. It's not complicated. Image and likeness. I like that you guys enjoyed that. It is very powerful, but yet very deep. And at the same time, this is something that we have to be aware from all the seasons, from all the levels that we keep on going, because this starts changing a little bit every single time. Your self-image and your identity, how you see yourself. How you see yourself, that's what it all is going to overflow from. So every single time you get promoted by God, your self-image is going to change. Your identity is going to go deeper into God. God is going to start teaching you something else. And that's why you always have to be aware that you are rooted in him. And it goes back to you seeing yourself in the mirror, the way God sees you and the way who God is. His image and his likeness. Now, this is something for you guys to truly study up and understand who God is, because that you need to, that's the beauty of Holy Spirit. He walks with us through the process of letting us slowly but surely going through our own process to understanding who God is. He shows through every circumstance, every situation, day in and day out. He teaches us, he leads us, he guides us in all of it. So self-worth and identity. This is crazy, because as life goes on and you're not sensitive to this, this is where people get lost. Your identity is self-worth, and hear this out, does not come from your achievements. It doesn't come from how many degrees you have. None of that matters. It doesn't come from your physical attraction. A lot of these things, if you know, humans are better looking than others, this really gets into their head and they become blind and proud. And you know, it really hits them. That's not where your true identity and self-image or worth comes from. Your possessions. The more you work here, it just automatically, when you make the right decisions financially and God blesses you, a lot of people get blindsided and they put their focus in the right place, like wrong place. Possessions and success blinds us people. That's probably one of the most dangerous things out there. That's why... Maybe, I'm not sure. Maybe God, that's why he doesn't bless a lot of people, because he doesn't want to lose people, you know. But it's a matter of principles and keys. When you understand what success looks like, it's easy to walk it out, and it's going to work for you again and again. And it just the way God established it. You're not supposed to build your foundation on that. When God blesses you and you become wealthy and you become a person of influence, that's not what your likeness and image is. You're still a son of God. And the crazy thing is, you come to this earth naked. You leave, you know, dressed up, but you still don't take any possessions from it, right? I wanted to say you come into this world naked and you leave, but usually they dress you up, man. It would be kind of bad if you're in a casket naked, you know? But seriously, I mean, that's what it is. You go through the process, and the whole time you're on this earth, 80 years, whatever that looks like, God works on your heart. God is prepping you for eternity. And in the process, how you stay focused on Jesus, how you keep traction and keep, you know, riding on the right path is identity and self-image. Because a lot of it overflows what kind of decisions you're making in the moment, but also the people that surrounds you. Like, all of this literally overflows from these small little things. Self-image is really walking with the Holy Spirit and letting him show what the character of God looks like. Character of God, Danny mentioned that from Galatians 5:22. Love, patience, gentleness, kindness, fruitfulness, self-control, all of that. And for us, for God, this is who he is. He's all of these things. He's a God of love, right? He's a God of kindness. He's a God of faithfulness. Like, that's his nature. For us, we have to first set it as a principle. We have to walk it out until it becomes our nature as well. And that's how we transform into his image, into his likeness. At first, we're like, okay, gentleness is kind of cool, but you're not a gentle person, you know? Like, what does that look like? So you really have to like start praying this out and start letting Holy Spirit in your heart to teach you how do you actually practically apply that and become a gentle person. That it happens subconsciously. You just love on people and you're kind. These are huge principles, you know? People think about like patience and gentleness and kindness as weakness. No, these are eternal strengths. This is what God is built on. This is who he is. This is how God wants us to build our image and our likeness, literally according to him. Because these open up a lot of doors to blessing, to success, to connections, to friendships, to everything. And so, identity. Us as a family in this new year, 2025, we're going to be pursuing Jesus. We're going to be pursuing the depths of his presence, of his glory, of his love. That's what it's all about. Everything else is secondary. It truly is. It doesn't really carry any value or weight. But being transformed into his image and walking the journey and being faithful and getting to know deeper revelation about him and discovering ourselves in the process when we do all of that, that carries eternal weight and value. That's the beautiful part. The second key that I want to talk about is, actually, I want to talk about five strategies. Small little strategies, and throughout the years, every single person gets attacked by this and it works. Like, this is the five strategies that the enemy uses, and they work every single time on us. Satan, he's a good fisherman. It is so funny. He knows what kind of hook and bait to throw to catch us every single time with his deceptions, with his lies, with his illusions. And for us, when we walk in the presence of God, we automatically become in tune to God's presence and his likeness, but also we become in tune with the darkness and everything that that brings. It's like when you start working in a bank, right? The first thing they teach you is how to fill out the real money. And when a fake comes in, you'll be able to identify it. Well, same, that's the importance of walking with the Holy Spirit and in his presence like daily, because then you get so used to his nature, presence, who he is, that when the enemy starts coming at you, you can discern it. It's a lot easier for you to discern his lies. And talking about these five strategies that the enemy attacks with, I want to dispel these because they are so simple, but no matter, you know, level, generation, he attacks with the same stuff and people bite the bait. And every single time they go on a journey that Satan messes with them. I call these 5 D's. Doubt, discouragement, diversion, defeat, delay. Pretty simple, huh? It's so wild. It's pretty simple. And why does it work every single time? Like, oh my God. Doubts. The enemy attacks you with a doubt. First doubt in history, going back to Genesis, was with Eve. The enemy had her question God's word and his goodness and faithfulness. Wow. 6,000 years, he literally throws the same like bait, right? He still fishes. Again, he's a good fisherman. He throws doubts and it works with people. They start doubting and they stop following God's presence. Because I think number one strategy for the enemy is to stop you from being in his presence and walking it out daily. Just coming in and getting recharged with him. Like an iPhone, you know, you plug God into you and just get his substance flowing in your blood veins. That's his number one, is like small little bugs, you know, small little viruses, is doubts. And then you start focusing on yourself and your insecurities and your issues, you know, and the spiral just keeps unrolling. Second one, discouragement. He makes us look, as I was just saying, he makes us look at our problems rather than God. Oh my God, I won quite a bit of battles even last year. If you are glitching when it comes to your relationship with God, all that it takes is changing your focus on God and looking at who he is, looking at that cross. That's how simple it is. Just looking what he has done and staying in that place of focus, be like, God, just like, even if you're not feeling it or it's not working for you, start decreeing it, start proclaiming it, and start believing it. Like literally, how good Jesus is, your problems, instead of being this much or this big, they just start shrinking. Your problems start shrinking and then they just start vanishing because you understand that is just an illusion that you blew it up in your head and with your emotions. You were focusing on the wrong stuff. Simple stuff, very consequential things that happen if we fall for these suckers. Diversion. The enemy makes us attracted to the wrong things. And then you start falling for those things. How many of you guys know what that looks like? Yeah. In the wrong place at the wrong time. Because you are attracted to something. It doesn't matter if it's success, if it's money. I see this all the time. People go after success and they try to find God in it. Yo, no, you gotta follow God and then success comes afterwards. Don't get it twisted backwards, you know? And it doesn't matter how many families in this house that we saw, you get married out of lust, and then next thing you know, you don't see a family. And they are struggling because that was the wrong foundation for you to even start a relationship with the person. Literally, the enemy makes you attracted to the wrong things, wrong people. It's about him. You come in naked, you're gone with an experience of this journey on this earth that you live. And the glory is his. But what do you do in the process? The fourth one, defeat. This is a big one. The last couple that I'm going to talk about, these are big ones. For me, I had to wrestle with these and nasty suckers. Defeat makes you feel like you're a failure and then you just give up too soon and you don't even start trying. How many of you guys experienced that one? Oh my goodness. Seriously, again, so simple. He plays on your emotions. He plays on your emotions. You're in a process. It's okay. If you feel whatever, not worthy, you know, self-worth, image, it really goes there every single time. If you have your focus out of alignment, go back on Jesus and start focusing on him. He's your image to imitate. He's your image to embrace. He's your image to copy. He's your image. If you look at him and you see an error in you, you start fixing that error in you. Like it's literally on us. We are in the journey and God is walking with us. Just like with Cain. He's looking at Cain's heart and Cain is going through rejection. He's going through anger. He's going through, you know, like jealousy towards his brother. God is right there with, God is with us right now. He's walking through the process of life. Like, just look back at him. Failure is a momentary experience. It's not your whole lifetime. It's not your future. It's not, you know what I mean? It's like, it's just right there. It's going to go away, literally. Don't do anything. Just look at God and focus on Him, on His goodness, on who He is. And the last one, the fifth one, is delay. This sucker is pretty bad too. Procrastination. How many of you guys know that one? Delay. Oh, you procrastinate and you put things off and things don't get done. And a lot of times what God puts on your heart, it just gets delayed for years. Oh my God, if God is like, even from this year and the end of next year, I'm usually in tune to Holy Spirit. I'm like, what are you doing? What is this next year race going to look like? Speak clearly to me because I want to follow your voice and I want to make the right decisions. And so when God is speaking something to you, don't be afraid of failure, please. Like to my boys, I say all the time, go fail. Failure is your best teacher, but at least you're going to step out and you're going to learn lessons and you're going to know you're not going to do wrong and you're going to start doing right. You know what I mean? You're going to succeed. That's what failures is. It's errors and it's direction for your success. But it's the delay, you being stuck and sitting in one spot and not doing anything. That's the big issue. That's really the big issue. And this goes, all five of these D's, they go back to all the areas of your life. It's not just one thing. It's not just your spiritual life. If there is like, you know, business ideas, or there is like schooling ideas, or there is like, you know, serving ideas that have been in your mind from childhood or for a decade or five decades, yo, like don't just sit on them. Go walk them out. Start praying about it, that God gives you the right opportunities, and start walking it out. Why? Holy Spirit, He put a bunch of treasures in each and every one of us. If we don't take that action, we will never be able to step into it and release what is on the inside of us. Life is too quick. 80 years, boom, it's done. Tommy was telling me the other week. He's like, bro, I was 17. Now I'm like 23. What? How did that happen? It's, dude, yes. I'm like, what? I'm in my 30s, like middle 30s. What? Scary. But nevertheless, my point is, don't let the enemies trick you with the same small little stuff like doubt and discouragement and delays, like all of these five little D's that I just, don't let him discourage you. He pushes on your feelings and emotions, but you look at God and that's where you start out with. What is God telling you to do? What has God put in you as far as your self-worth, as far as your image? That's where it starts off with. For a little while, when I started my walk with God, I didn't understand this one thing. I was failing a lot, and I felt like my life is a curse, and that's because I sowed so many wrong seeds when I was a teenager. But coming into my 20s and then starting my journey with God, I really thought that God hated me, and I really thought that God was after me to punish me for all my sins that I'd done. You know, I didn't see the blessings. It was like I would trip and fall over every single stone or whatever. I couldn't find, you know, traction and start actually pursuing God and live a good, successful life. When I look back at my journey and when I look back at Genesis and His first reactions and responses with Adam and Eve, everything is always done on God's behalf out of love. God wanted me, He didn't like punish me or correct me in certain areas because He didn't like me. He wanted me to have a stronger connection with Him. He wanted me to go deeper into Him. And so certain things that He was trying to cut off from my life and my heart, it was painful. I didn't understand. I wasn't mature enough. I didn't have the right perspective, but it was for my best. He's looking at the end goal and I'm stuck here in the progress or process. Does that make sense? And so like when Holy Spirit is doing something with you, it goes back to looking at Him, His likeness and His image. Knowing that whatever is happening in your life, in a situation, it's because God wants to take you deeper into His love, into His embrace, into walking with you here on this earth. For God, this is the beginning and this has always been His heart's desire, is to walk close with you, is to love you and be loved by you. Everything else is like, it's secondary. We need, you know, we need to be doing things in this life, moving forward and building kingdom and building, encouraging each other. And like, that's just part of life. But at the end, when God looks at you personally, at me personally, He looks at your heart. What's in your heart? Because that's what truly matters. And so when it comes to this and building your 2025 and asking God for clarity in what He's going to be doing with you this year, know that He loves you. Know that He is after your success, probably more than you are after it. But He wants to do this process and He wants to do this life with you. Like you intentionally coming to Him and being with Him, being connected with Him, feeling on His heart, feeling what He's thinking about, expressing His heart's desires on this earth. God gave a warning to Cain before he murdered his brother. He looked at his heart. He didn't judge him, but He just didn't want Cain to suffer the consequences, because He knew the fear, because that's the like next steps what happened with Cain. He started experiencing fear that somebody's going to kill him. That was like the reflection, you know, of his action. God knows the consequences of everything. It doesn't matter what the journey looks like. For us, it's always going back to looking at Him, taking and getting under the authority of the cross and the blood, and keep on journeying and keeping on going. God makes us into His image through this process. But what do? Do we run away from ourselves? Do we run away from God? Or do we actually face everything that is happening in our lives? God's heart's desire is for us to live by faith, not by sight. So when He says in Genesis 4:7, you will be accepted. And the reason why this verse hit me so hard, because in the beginning, I didn't understand what God's process is going to look like. And I was just literally like a storm, you know, going from left to right and trying to hold on to something, because I fell in love with this God. I experienced Him and He's so good, and I want to live with Him and be with Him. But all the doubts and distractions and attacks were just hitting me so hard, and I didn't know what to do with it, you know. But God is saying very clearly here, it's like, you will be accepted. God already accepted you through Jesus and through blood. He sees you through His eyes, literally through that sacrifice. You're already accepted. Sin's nature is to control. When we open up the door to sin, it automatically tries to cling on us and takes us into loops, into circles, wasting our time. That's what it's all about for sin, is wasting our time. Come under the blood, come under the cross. Keep your focus on Him. Like, these are basic truths, but we need to walk these truths out for a lifetime, because year after year, problems, people, everything changes. But yet these things are eternal, and we have to literally keep them always at our like sight and always be super aware of them. When doubts come, don't let them take roots. Catch them on a spot and look at God and ask God, what do you think about that? Or if discouragement comes, be like, wisdom, what do you want me to do in this situation? Like, what do you say about these problems? Jesus made it, He made it for us. Like, He made it good for us. He died on that cross. We took communion. Such a beautiful time. I love this. I agree with you. It's a celebration. We do it every Sunday. We don't even do it every, like, once a month. We do it every Sunday because it's our King. He deserves it. He's worthy to be celebrated all the time. He went to heaven. He paid the price. He went to heaven. He sent the Holy Spirit. And now we walk with Holy Spirit. Our encourager, our helper, He guides us. Like, we're pretty much set. We don't need anything else but just to do life with Holy Spirit. Trust Him, walk by faith, not by sight. It's either in business, it's either in ministry, it's either you're in a process of discovering yourself, who you are in God, what God wants from you. If you're not satisfied, literally it goes back to God. He's the only one that can satisfy you on this earth. No possessions, no status, like none of that. All of those just illusions. It all starts with Him. It took me a while, you know, going back to the thought that I didn't understand why God hated me. And I was just going in circles and in spirals, going the same direction. I'm like, God, so do you like me or you don't like me? I don't get it. Because one day I'm experiencing your glory and your goodness. The next day I'm like tripping and falling. And I don't know what's happening with my life. Like, where are you at, you know? So out of that process, one of the things that I learned is in this verse, it talks about God says, do what is right. I learned what it looks like to do what is right. What does that road of righteousness, what does it look like? It looks like something practically for us to walk out, to be in the right place with God. And that is us being submitted to the blood and to Jesus, to the cross, to what he has done for us. It starts with that place. But nevertheless, when I was in this place, I tasted a lot. I tasted a lot of the fruit of knowledge of good and evil. You know, in the garden, it started with the two trees, tree of life and tree of knowledge of good and evil. Well, I was pigging out on the tree of fruit of good and evil, you know. And so after getting so lost and all the boundaries getting like just so flat out destroyed, I didn't know what it looks like. What does God mean when he says, do what is right? Nobody was ever a good example for me to learn how to walk the blueprint that God created for all of us to walk in. Because there is a blueprint. Abel, he got it. He got accepted by God and he was favored by God. And dude, that's what it looks like. I think that's the best experience in life. When you can please your God and you know that your creator is pleased with you and you're in the right place at the right time. And that was Abel's response from God. Cain's was on the other one, on the other hand, was it was different. And I feel like I was Cain for a minute. Good thing I you know, didn't have any murders or anything deep and crazy like that. I mean, sheesh, so fast. First generation, Adam and Eve stumble with rebellion. Next generation, craziest things start happening already. The fruit of sin starts manifesting. As God, I know this is not for a lot of people, but this is for some people. Like I just, when I was writing this out, I really felt this very clear. Some people, they overstep boundaries where now they have to go back and build these principles and these boundaries and let the presence of God and Holy Spirit restore you. Truly restore you, because it takes time for you to start seeing yourself as innocent and pure the way God sees you because of the blood and the cross. Does that make sense to anybody? Some boundaries, it will take time for you to get restored. And so, Jesus, he's real. It doesn't matter your issues in the process or your falls. He got it. His blood, it will always restore you. Like, it will always get you back to the beginning of being innocent, being pure and holy and righteous in him. That's because of him. That's not because of what we can do. It took me a while to start understanding what it looks like to do right and be accepted by God. But when I started practically, truly walking this out, all the doors to sin, all the doors to the enemy, to that tax, just started closing down. And I really started feeling more and more of God's presence. And I really started feeling more of his blessings and favor on my life. This is huge, because you really want to live life intentionally. You just don't go with the flow. Coming into God's presence every single day. If you're a babe, like, it's easy because you're all emotional and hype and bunch of goosebumps and all of this is, you know, is good. But when you mature in God, it becomes very intentional. A lot of times you will not feel it. You will not feel like, you know, obeying Holy Spirit or listening to him. But you do it anyways, because that's just the way of life. Literally. I'm going to be wrapping up here soon. One of the coolest things when I was meditating on Genesis and Adam and Eve, they didn't need no righteousness. They lived in innocence and they lived in purity. They were automatically walking in God's presence. Is this cool or what? Like God in Matthew, he talks about pure of heart will hear and see God. Adam and Eve, they didn't taste the fruit of knowledge of good and evil. Before they tasted it, they automatically walked in his presence and they saw God. And their image was clean. Like they didn't see that they were naked. They didn't even know what naked is. They literally just carried God's image, his likeness and his image. As soon as they tasted, they overstepped the boundary they shouldn't have. They started seeing themselves. It started with themselves with warped eyes. They started seeing with the eyes of sin and the enemy. And so literally like these basic truths that started from the beginning, there are so much things for us to take as keys and apply right now, and it will work because we got Jesus, we got the blood. Seriously. After Adam and what he did and after all the sin and all the, you know, virus that started taking place, the generations afterwards, they couldn't do anything. They had to sacrifice a bunch of cows and sheep and, oh my God, that was a struggle. I can't even imagine Solomon giving that sacrifice of what, like thousands of sheep and donkeys and all kinds of stuff. Can you guys imagine that? Let's burn the whole farm, all the animals and everything, just so we can be right with God. That's pretty insane. Now we just come to Jesus and we just accept it. By faith, it's already done. Have you guys ever been to that place when you realize what Jesus has done for you and you're just undone? You're like, oh my God, this, why would you do that? Why am I so blessed that I can have this and live this out? Like, it's the most precious thing. You can't buy it. You can't do anything for it. You just embrace it. You cherish it. You honor him and you honor the blood and you walk it out. You walk out to freedom. It's the most beautiful experience ever. But going back to my point with Adam and Eve, they walked in innocence and they walked in purity and they were automatically in God's presence and walking with him in the cool of the day. They were walking with him in a garden. With us in Jesus and blood and what he has done for us, that's possible. If we maintain our hearts and if we truly watch out for things that I mentioned, doubt, discouragement, delay, defeat, like all of these things, if we watch out the health of our minds and our souls, Holy Spirit, and if you walk by faith and obedient to Holy Spirit, you automatically get purified, get innocent, and you start walking in God's presence. God restored us. He restored everything to the beginning, to the original idea that God had for humanity and for his love. Because God is a lover and he loves us so much. It's for us to discover that, accept that, and then truly live that out and love him in return. God is after purity and innocence. In the world, innocence sounds like something so low. For God, for him, this is such a valuable, I don't even know how to put it in words, valuable principle, valuable substance, valuable thing for us to truly step into. One of the things that I went after I got born again and as I started being Holy Spirit put this purity and innocence on my life that I could get duped by my friends like piece of cake, you know? They would troll on me like bad. Anything they say, I would believe. I'm like, really? Yeah? And I'm like, and like literally that's the fruit of Holy Spirit. When you walk close with him, he automatically starts like birthing that and taking over your heart, the innocence and the purity in you. And that's the reason why he does that, because he's returning you to the beginning, the original idea, what it was with God, is walking with him in the cool of the day in the garden, being loved by him and loving him in return. God wants us to walk with him in the process because he wants to enjoy our process with us in the process as we go. He wants to teach us. He wants to lead us. He wants to instruct us. He wants us to be better. He wants us not to waste time and get deceived and start believing or getting attracted to wrong things. That's why he gave the Holy Spirit. So we can have full access with heaven and Father's heart. This is the most beautiful thing. It's so simple. The more I learn about God and these things, it's like, yo, Sajik, kindergarten stuff, you know? But yet it works. When you walk in innocence and when you walk in purity, you walk in God's presence. And crazy stuff starts happening when you really yield to him and start being obedient to him. Today, God gave us the opportunity to walk in peace and joy and in full of his blessing. Not only to hug that for ourselves, but to bless others. Because God is a God of outward. He doesn't focus on himself. He always focuses on his kids, how to bless them, how to love on them. Like, he gave his son. That's a proof of that. He literally gave his best. He sacrificed his own son. That's what his image looks like. And that's for us to truly strive for that. And that's how we need to become. Givers, full of generosity, full of love, full of peace, example to other people, and just bless other people with what God blesses us with. Galatians 5:18. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under obligation of the law of Moses. This is so good. When you can yield to Holy Spirit, when you can obey Him, Holy Spirit, thank you so much. I don't know what's happening right now. Holy Spirit, I just give room to you. I just ask that your presence rests on every heart. You know what we need. You know us inside out, because you only look at the heart. You don't look on the exterior. You know what our struggles are. You know what our insecurities are. You know what we're hungry for. You know what we're deficient in. I just ask that you rest on every person. I just ask that you rest on every family member, on every family here. Holy Spirit, cut off everything that doesn't belong to them. Even if that looks hard in a moment, I just ask that they come to the original idea of what your image looks like in them. Your likeness and your image. That's, wow. I just want to wrap up with the last thought right now, and I'll continue the prayer. I don't know what was that, but Holy Spirit just fell down. That was so beautiful. It started with disobedience. For us, it's about obedience. That's all it is. Jesus' cross restored everything, and for us now it's to walk out in obedience. That's how simple it is. And it starts out with being daily in communion with Him, with our King and our Lover. Let's close our eyes. I don't know why Holy Spirit is resting on this, but something is happening right now. So in tune your hearts to hear Him and be vulnerable with Holy Spirit right now. Can you bump up the music a little bit, bro? Holy Spirit, we can do our human part in ministering and creating these topics and talking about you. But when you come here, when you come into our hearts and into our lives, you transform us, you change us, you add so much to us. You satisfy us that we don't care about nothing else. I don't know what you are doing right now in this building and in this place right now, but I give room to you. Holy Spirit, we need your love. We need your acceptance. We need your clarity the way you see us and not the way we see ourselves. I just ask that your presence right now goes deep into every heart, that you heal each person here, that you restore, that you deliver. Because with you, it is so simple. When you walk in, everything gets transformed. And I just ask, even for this year, every Sunday that we're having these services, when people come in here, they get so built up by your presence, by your wisdom, by your understanding, by your embrace, by your acceptance. They get so charged with your presence that their value system changes, that their perspective about life, about themselves change, that they fall in love with you in a deeper way and more intimate way. You know every heart inside out. You know things about us that we don't know yet. And yet, you want to walk with us. You want us to discover everything that you have put in us in that process. Holy Spirit, even for me right now, because I know your presence is here and your anointing. For 2025, whatever that process is going to look like for me personally. I give you room on all of my hearts, on all of the fronts. Have your way. I want to become a better lover to you. I want to become a better son, a better servant, and a better human being. Jesus, we honor you here. We honor for what you have done on that cross. Thank you so much for your blood, your body, and your resurrection. Thank you that we can step into the power of that resurrection. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen. That was different. Come on, give him glory.